I want you to grab your Bibles at this time. We'll be in Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. For the past 246 years, there's a nation that has existed like any other. A nation where its citizens experience freedom and wealth unparalleled in history. A nation made up of people from all over the globe. Our nation, right? America, our nation. And it's not perfect, right? It's not been a perfect nation. There's been issues that have come up. But as this nation was founded, it was founded on the foundation that there is a God. Our money says, in God we trust. That's how we were founded. And despite all the other issues, despite whatever's happened, there's always at least been that understanding that there's a God who created all things. That the reason we can all come together from all these nations and be united is because we are created in the image of God. And we are all equal. But I believe the American experiment is quickly coming to an end. As we look at the things going on in our nation, we can't just help but look and see what in the world, right? What is going on? Many certainly have predicted the end of America practically since it began, right? Practically since we fought the Revolutionary War, practically since we gained our freedom. There have always been naysayers. There have always been those that have said, this cannot last. This cannot work. But as long as God has been the foundation, it'll work. It can work. It has worked. But what we are experiencing right now, right, what we are experiencing right now is the rapid decay of our society and our government. And again, like, what is going on? Here's what's going on. We're going to get political this morning. All right, we're going to talk about some political things. But I'm going to tell you, here's what is going on in our nation. We, as a nation, are under the judgment of Almighty God. That is what we are experiencing right now. That is what is going on. And I am not the only one saying this. I am not the only pastor preaching this. There are many others proclaiming this exact same message. And the reason is found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the last part of the chapter, outlines for us the consequences of rejecting God and what that looks like. So I want to go through this, look through this, and I think you will come to understand, and probably you already do and already agree with me, this is where we are at as a nation. So we begin with the who in verse 18. The who is it, right, that God is angry with, that God's wrath is poured out on? Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So we're told here, God's wrath, God's judgment is revealed. It is poured out on all those who are ungodly, all those who are unrighteous. Specifically those who suppress the truth. Right? Those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those that take God's truth and keep it from others and replace it with lies. God's judgment is poured out on those people. Those who take what they know to be true, this is true, and they replace it with lies. God's judgment is against those people. So what truth? Right? Specifically, what truth? Well, verses 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what truth is it that God says, if you take this truth and you suppress it and you replace it with lies, my judgment is against you? What truth? The truth about who God is. Right? That truth. The truth about God's character, the truth about God's existence, the truth about the manifestation of God, the evidence of that, right? As Paul says here, the evidence of that is made known through the creation. It's made known through the creation. All of this did not happen by mistake. It did not happen by chance. And so this knowledge is available to every person. Every man who has ever lived and ever will live and is living right now, there is a knowledge that could be understood if they will open their eyes to see there is a God who has created all things for every person in every generation. As Paul says here, his invisible attributes are clearly seen because all of this has been crafted and ordered on every scale. Right? On every scale. I don't know if you keep track of all the space stuff. I am a space nerd. I will be honest. Right? I'm always watching YouTube videos on this space stuff that's happened, everything. So we just launched the James Webb Telescope. I don't know if any of you pay attention to that, but I do. And so some of the images that have begun coming back from that telescope, and this telescope is way better than anything we've ever been able to do before. And so it takes these pictures of our galaxies and of galaxies beyond, and it is just magnificent. If you look at those pictures, it is just like, God, you are awesome. Because we began to understand the universe certainly is without limit. Hey, there's no limit to it. And there's all these galaxies beyond our galaxy, and they're everywhere, and they're all over. And I mean, just the differences in all the galaxies and everything that's going on. There is no way this happened by chance. No way. And it's wonderful. It's glorifying to God to behold all of that. And you go from that scale to the microscopic, which again is infinite. It's infinite. As you go down to the atom and the electrons and the neutrons and all of that, and even we can get even smaller, way smaller than that, and we're just trying to invent instruments to be able to look at it and measure it, and you can't get small enough. But all of it is created, and it all has an order to it. It doesn't matter how you look at the universe, there is an order to it that you have to come to the conclusion there is a God. Right? There is a God that has created and crafted all of this and has put it together, certainly for His glory. And as Paul says here, right, the eternal power, the Godhead of God, is clearly seen. And so those who suppress the truth about God, who suppress the truth about His very existence, God's wrath is being poured out on those people. It is. It will be. And I believe it is being poured out on those people. So why? Verses 21 and 23, we see the why. Why do they suppress the truth? Why is it that people can't just acknowledge that there is a God? Verse 21 says, because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So why is it? Why is it they suppress the truth? Because they do not want to worship God. Right? They don't want to worship God, and they don't want to give Him glory. So in futility, they worship other things. Anything, right? Just about anything. In their foolish hearts, which are dark. It says they're dark and they're unable to receive the light. They darken their hearts. They don't want to know the truth. And claiming to be wise, they follow all kinds of lies and false beliefs. And they call it science, right? True science, real science, studies the creation and understands in the backdrop that there is a God. But they are fools. And they change the glory of the God who is incorruptible into things that are corruptible, into the image of people and the creation, animals. And I would submit to you this morning, this is us. This is America right now. We suppress the truth about God in every facet of our society. Do we not? And we proclaim the lie of evolution. We are being judged by God as a nation because we've accepted evolution as true, and it has permeated our society. It has permeated our universities. It has permeated our schools. It has permeated everything, even our churches. And there are so many that try to take this, which denies evolution, which says evolution is a lie, and says God created all things. And yet there are people that try to take this and smash evolution into it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. It can't work. Because if you do that, then you're saying this is a lie, and God is a liar. And so we as a nation have taken this, claiming it to be science, and it is not. It's just a lie. And we have claimed that this is true. And we teach it to our children, and we teach it from generation to generation to generation. We have taught there is no God. We have taught that we are self-existent. We have taught that man has absolutely no value. We have taught that. We believe it. We do it. Why is it that people are okay with killing children? Why is it that people are okay with abortion? Because they don't believe in God. Right? They don't believe in the Creator. And so as a nation, we have promoted this falsehood. We have promoted this lie. And just as it says here in Romans chapter 1, just as it says here in verse 18 there, we are under the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. We are. We are experiencing that right now. We are. And you can ask, what is it? Why is everything falling apart? Why has everything gone crazy? Why are people promoting just absolutely disgustingness on TV and everywhere and asking everyone to agree with it? What in the world is going on? We are under God's judgment. Because we as a nation have come to the place where we no longer believe in God. We do not. Because we teach that there is no God. When I was in first grade, I had a teacher. She made all of us stand up and say, there is no God, over and over and over. That was in the 80s. Right? I had a teacher do that. Now I stood up and then told her that she was wrong. And she got in trouble because even in that time, it wasn't okay to be doing that. But still, right? That is the mentality of our society. And that is what our schools are teaching. Unfortunately, it's what our seminaries, I always call them cemetery because that's where pastors go to die. That's what our seminaries are teaching, that evolution is true, and they try to incorporate it into the Bible. And again, it does not work at all. Right? So this is what we as a nation, and it can't be denied, this is what we believe as a nation. And so, how can we, if we accept this, how can we not say we're not under God's judgment? We are. And so it continues on. What does this look like? How is it that this plays out? Because we're told here specifically, this is what this is going to look like. As God's judgment is poured out on a nation, on a people that have rejected Him, this is what this looks like. And so the first thing that we see in verses 24 and 25, right, the first part of this, so there's kind of four different stages here that I see. And the first is in verse 24. It says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Right, so first of all, this wrath that is being poured out is as God is going to give them up to what? Uncleanness. To pursue the lusts of their hearts. To dishonor their bodies among themselves. The acceptance of sexual sin as normal, right? And we as a society we're way beyond that, but right, that we've been there. Right? Any kind of sex outside of marriage is wrong and it's abomination. God hates it. And yet in our society, No big deal. Right? No big deal. Who cares? Fornication, adultery, pornography, all that. People just living together. Unfaithfulness to the marriage covenant. That is just a daily thing. Marriage is being destroyed. It doesn't matter whether they're Christian or non-Christian. The divorce rate is almost exactly the same. Right? That's our society. We no longer lift up marriage as being something, yeah, that this is, as we make a covenant, this is forever, this is for the rest of my life. No, we don't do that anymore. We don't. And so we worship, and there's this coming of this worship of the creation. This is part of God's judgment, is the worship of the creation, and our society, our nation is filled with that. I mean, the whole global warming, climate change nonsense. I mean, what is that? That is the worship of the creation. And we are under God's judgment. Second, verses 26 to 27. So it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Right? Homosexuality, cross-dressing, transgender nonsense stuff, whatever that is, right? All of that. Becoming a part of society, becoming acceptable within society is an evidence of God's judgment. It is. That's what Paul's telling us here. Right? As we see this becoming normal and accepted, right, we are rejecting God and we are under His judgment. And it's against the natural order. Right? Even those who don't even believe in God understand there is a natural order, that there is male and female, right? That's how that works. And yet we have rejected even that which is normal and the created order. And so if you believe in God, if you believe that God created all things, if you believe that God created man and woman, and that God instituted marriage, one man, one woman, right? If you believe that, you cannot be okay with homosexuality at all. At all. Right? That can't be okay. And yet it has become normal in our society. It is being promoted in our society as good and acceptable, and is being forced on our children and saying, you need to accept this and you need to be a part of this. Third, verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Right? That to me, describes the complete breakdown of social order. Right? This is describing a society that has no moral compass at all. That has no morality, has no consequences, that has gone, is complete anarchy. Right? That is where we are headed. I think we are headed very soon. We are headed to complete anarchy because we have rejected God. And so God is allowing our society to degenerate to the point where it just completely falls apart. Because without God, without that moral compass, we have no anchor. As a society, we have nothing. And so we are drifting, and we are drifting very quickly. And as it says here, right, just vile passions and immorality and just all this that's being described here is just evil and complete wickedness without any restraint at all. Which is anarchy. And then 4, verse 32. Says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Right? Don't they know that God judges unrighteousness? They know the eternal consequence. But instead of refusing to repent, they encourage and they promote evil. That is the society we live in. Right? They promote evil. And those who would stand up, right? Those who would say, no, that is wrong, they are, go away. You're a hater. You're a racist. We don't want you. That's our nation. We as a nation have embraced the lie. The lie of evolution, that there is no God. Right? That's evolution. There is no God. We've embraced that lie. And we are reaping the consequences. We are reaping the consequences right now. And those few who hold the truth are drowned out. They're canceled. They're censored. Yes, our society is corrupt. Yes, our government is corrupt. Yes, there's things going on. Right? I mean, we could talk about the election. We could talk about all kinds of different things. It's just like, why is this going on? Why can't we just return to what our Constitution says? Why can't we just do that? Because we are under God's judgment. Because we've rejected God. That's why. We could take up arms. Right? And I get people that ask me this. When do we take up arms? When do we fight? Well, I ask you, would that actually change anything? Would that actually change anything? We could take up arms, we could reinstitute the Constitution, we could say, yes, we're going to do this, and we could replace all the corrupt judges, and we could replace all the corrupt politicians. And we could say, we are going to live by what our Constitution says. We could do that. But unless we're willing to get rid of the teaching of evolution and once again acknowledge as a nation that there is a God, we're not going to accomplish anything. We're not going to accomplish anything at all. It'll all be for naught. And I, just to be honest, I don't see evolution, the teaching of evolution, ever being taken out of our society at this point. I don't. I don't see it. It's been accepted in churches. It's been accepted in our schools. I mean, it's accepted at the highest levels that this is true. Right? And unless we get rid of it, honestly, there is no hope. I see the end of our nation is close. It is an end. It certainly is sad, but it is inevitable. Because we have wholeheartedly accepted the lie of evolution. And we have taught it to our children. And we have said this is true. And as Paul has said here, those that do that are judged by God. They are under the wrath of Almighty God. So what do we do, right? As believers, as those who are like, no, I don't accept that. I trust in God and this is where my faith is at. What do we do in the midst of that? Verses 16 and 17. Look back at verse 16. And Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What is it that God wants us to do? Not go along, certainly, with the wickedness, right? To live boldly, by faith, not ashamed of the glorious truth of who Jesus is. Of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Right? Boldly proclaiming that which is true. The power of God through Jesus Christ. And we live by faith, right? We live by faith knowing and worshiping the one true God. The one who is the Creator. The one who is our Savior. And it says here, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? In faith in God. Right? That is our faith. That is what we live by. And so we have this confidence. We have this assurance. Yes, God judges sin. Right? For sure. I think we are in the midst of experiencing that as a nation. I believe God judges the sin of nations. I do. I do believe that. And certainly as individuals, we are judged by God as well for how we live. But God is also gracious. Right? God is also gracious, and He certainly has been so gracious, I believe, to us and to our nation. But as I see the things that are going on now, I think that grace is over, right? But even in the midst of this, God is faithful. And God has those who are His that are calling to Himself, even in the midst of this wickedness, even in the midst of this evilness. And sometimes it can become overwhelming. But here's the thing. That which is good is very, right? Is very good. It's clear. It's clearly defined. That which is evil, clearly defined. And so now more than ever, we have a dividing line within our nation. When we were a nation that had understood, right, there's a God. Right, there's a God. There were those who, yeah, I believe in God. Did they place their faith in Christ? No. They were just, I'm a morally good person. I'm all right. Our nation was right, financially, we right, people had success more than any other, right? Wealth more than any other nation ever. Massive middle class. I mean, no nation ever had a middle class like this nation has. And people were like, yeah, I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my thing, and I'm good with that, and I don't really need God. But now in crisis, right now in crisis, as we see God's judgment being poured out on our nation, I am hoping, and my prayer is that we are brought to our knees in repentance. Right? In repentance. And we have a great opportunity. Right? We have a great opportunity to share our hope. Because there are so many without hope. Their hope was in their wealth. Their hope was in their security. As a nation, right? That we're pretty secure no longer, right? Their hope was in their job. Their hope was in whatever. That's being taken away. And now they have no hope. But we do. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. And so the encouragement this morning is to continue to live that. My encouragement this morning is we are not here to try to change our nation, try to rescue our nation. That is not our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to make the truth known and to live it. That's our purpose. That's what we hold to. Next week, we're going to start into 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, the church anyways at Corinth, 1 Corinthians addresses issues that the church had. But the church at Corinth is very similar to the church in America. Right? Because the society at Corinth was very, very, very similar to what we have going on right now in America. Right? Very similar. And they were called out. Right? There were people called out from that to glorify God. Now, they had some issues, and Paul addresses those. And so I think as we go through 1 Corinthians, I hope it's an encouragement to us. How is it that we live in a society that has completely rejected God? How do we live in a society that is pagan? Right? How do we do that? Well, as we get to 1 Corinthians, I think we will see very clearly what God has called us as a church to do and what His expectation for us, what it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is very relevant to the day that we live in. Not only does it help us understand, not only does it help us process what is going on and why it's going on, but it gives us hope. You have not just left us here to flounder. You have not just left us here to just go along with whatever. You have left us here to bring You glory. You have left us here as a remnant to speak the truth, to proclaim the truth. Help us, O Lord. Give us boldness to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we close our service, we'll sing our last song. So, Charles, if you